This week's episode of My Last Nerve Podcast is sponsored by Opulent Hair Essentials. Opulent Hair Essentials is a plant-based hair care brand that fights alopecia, eczema, and common hair issues like dryness and thinning. Opulent Hair Essentials not only caters to hair, but fellas, they got the beard covered. Opulent Hair Essentials makes clean, non-toxic beard care products infused with healing botanicals that promotes growth, combats patchiness and thickness, prevents ingrown hair, moisturizes the beard, and balances the skin. That's oil production and breakouts, fellas. For all your hair care needs, visit www.opulenthairessentials.com. Check them out on Instagram at @opulenthairessentials.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. You are now listening to My Last Nerve Podcast.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another episode of My Last Nerve, the podcast show. And I am one of the hosts. I go by the name of Chasen. How y'all doing today? Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear, because I know y'all was struggling with that last week. I'm glad to hear everything turned around for y'all. That's good to hear. Well, y'all look good, sound good. That's good to hear. Now that we ain't got acquainted, I have my other host here.
Okay, yeah, I'm here.
Sound,
you don't ask me how I'm doing like you ask other people, but that's fine.
I don't need to ask you how you doing.
You
I see how
you
doing.
You don't know.
I see how you doing.
You don't know in the inside how I'm doing.
I do, and first of all, I know you better than you know yourself.
Okay, well.
And then when I give you pointers on, you know, what may be wrong or how you may be feeling, if I tell you how I feel about how you feel or what I think, all you gonna do is tell me that I'm wrong. Even though I just know that's a defense mechanism for you to be like, you know what, damn, he is right. I do need to do this. I probably should do this. So
what?
Yeah. So I don't know why you're talking about. I don't ask you how you doing. I do ask, but
you don't say, LaShawn, how you doing today?
I'm not your grandmother. I'm not your auntie.
All right.
I'm not your uncle.
All right.
I'm your daddy.
No, you're not. Anyway.
Your father and your pastor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I'm glad this week coming up is going to be not such a busy week for us, because last week was eventful. For you, I guess. It was Easter weekend, so I got to spend time with the kids as a single father. You know, took them on some Easter egg hunts, and I spent time with my kids while my wife was off being an entrepreneur and just trying to, you know, bring home the bacon as I, you know, just whittled around the city as a house husband.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody got to play their role, so. That's fine. That's good. I don't know what you want me to say. I didn't feel bad.
Asking you to be feel bad, because I can take care of my children, you know, by myself if need be. While you out there, you know, making deals and shaking up the city, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
How you feel some type of way that I said that I was, you know, by myself with the kids while you was out, you know, working?
I think you feel a way about that.
Why would I feel a way about that?
I just think you do. I think you feel a way that sometimes my weekends are preoccupied or pre-planned with things, just like this weekend. I have an event this weekend.
You have an event this weekend. Guess what I have this weekend? What? Not a damn thing. I plan on sitting on this couch and, you know, catching up on TV shows, because you're so busy that you have not had an opportunity to catch up on TV shows with me. So I'm just going to watch them and then let you know what they're about.
You're not
watching
them by yourself.
See what I'm saying?
You're not.
I just want to spend time, you know. But I don't feel the way, because I hope that you get to a point to where I can quit my job and just be that. Just be that house husband and, you know, use your credit card to shop online. I'm okay with being that type of nigga. I am okay with it.
Well, just know if you that type of nigga, you're going to be rearing up some children, too. You're going to be.
I do that anyway. I raised the children anyway. I do more rearing in this house than you do.
No, you don't.
Okay.
I'm a rearing.
Negro,
I'm a,
please.
I'm a
nigga, please.
I'm the backup.
Nah.
Yes, I am. I am. So, anywho, yeah. I mean, it was a little bit eventful, but we got through it. You know. We did have a we did have a funny part. Friday when Carson got upset that she missed.
So oh I'm my not, God. I'm not, I don't know. We were supposed to tell Carson that April Fool's was on the first. She ended up finding out that April Fool's was on the first on April 2nd. And apparently, I guess she was looking forward to April Fool's Day. I guess she had a lot of shit planned. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when LaShawn told her that April Fool's was yesterday, she cried for at least an hour.
Yeah, she was pissed. Do you hear me? She was so upset. And then she was literally upset at me personally. And I'm like, why are you upset at me? I did not know I was supposed to tell you that April Fool's was on it. She never even said anything to us like, hey, I'm looking forward to April Fool's. I didn't even know until we were outside. She was helping me repot some succulents that we were getting ready for the pop-up shop. She was just talking. She was like, oh my gosh, mama, I am so excited. When April Fool's come up, I'm going to do some great pranks. And I was like, oh, you going to be planning for next year? And she was like, no, April Fool's is in April. And I was like, yeah, April Fool's was yesterday.
What an asshole.
Oh, my God.
What an
she
asshole.
She was like, why would you not tell me? Why would you not tell me that it's April Fool's?
You could have just told her it was coming.
You didn't even say anything.
You see the excitement on this young child's face. And yet you want to ruin it. You could have just said it was on. It's on Monday, so get ready.
No, she would have not. No, because she would have went back to school and would have said that her teacher would have put on blast.
You know what? Come here.
And would have
come
said,
here.
No,
come here.
I hear you.
Come here.
I hear
come
you.
Here. Since
it's
come, 2:15.
She's supposed to be back in class.
She's already here.
I hear you.
Tell us why you were so upset that we did not advise you of April Fool's.
Because I couldn't have pranked somebody.
Okay, but I told you can always prank somebody. Did I not?
But it's more fun when it's April Fool's.
No, they looking okay. for it when it's April Fool's.
Right.
But when you do it on like on a random day, they wasn't looking for it. So the prank is even better because they wasn't expecting it.
Don't roll your eyes. Go to class and close your door.
Holly.
We are recording.
Okay.
Bye.
I hear you.
Okay, close your door. Tight ass pants. Bye, Carson. We are in the middle of recording.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much, man. Close your door. Well,
anyway,
you're an asshole.
That was
for
funny.
Not,
yeah,
for not
I
doing
recorded
that.
It. So
anyway.
I started recording her. She was like, don't record me. Don't put me on Instagram. Oh my gosh. That's the man. That recording right there gonna go down in history. It was like that little midget meme that like slapped the camera out that person's face. It's literally like that. It was so funny.
Speaking of fools, so we were watching Easter service, and now don't judge, but I was cooking breakfast while, you know, service was going on, and it was in the praise and worship part, and Carson gonna say, why are these people raising their hand? She gonna say they must finna do the whipping nay nay.
Oh, I'm done.
Now I'm thinking,
what the hell? Head out.
That wasn't it. The oldest one, Chase, gonna come back and say, "Nah, he must have a question." Nigga,
but they don't do that in their church though. You gotta think about it. She just been at children's church since she been here.
Just,
he has too.
Deshaun, I just don't like when they say stuff like that because it's just like. I feel like I'm not doing my job as a parent.
They haven't been in grown-ups.
They have been in church with us before, and they see people in the spirit and raising their hands.
No, they haven't been like that. They only been at fun stuff. So, like, when they have, like, the Christmas.
Somebody raising their hand doing praise and worship is not them doing the whip and the nay-nay, nor is it anybody asking
that
a question.
That one girl, she did used to do the whip and nay-nay. Now,
anyway, so
yeah.
Last thing. Apparently, LaShawn has warned me about this for a very long time, and it kind of came to fruition Saturday morning. for a long time, Deshaun was like, you don't need to be sleeping naked. You need, because you never know what can happen. You never know what can happen. It could be an emergency. You got to get up. And if you you're naked while you waking up sleep, then you're going to not have no clothes on. What if we got to run out the house and you ain't got no clothes on? And this may be TMI, but y'all going to hear about it today.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, I was in a good, comfortable sleep. Probably had a drink or two, you know.
Probably.
That's fine.
I
had what I had and had a nice nightcap. Sean gave me a nice.
Hey. This ain't got nothing to do with me. Don't be. You tell them your beard. Anyway, don't be telling them my beard.
So, I'm asleep. I am knocked out. Boom, 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 boom. Now, in the wake of everything going on, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was the police or what, or something's wrong with the kids. I get up, hop up out the bed, run to the door. I'm like, fuck, I ain't got no clothes on. So I'm like, do I go back and put some clothes on? Do I see what's going on? Do I see what's going on? So I ain't putting no clothes on. So I just yelled at the door. Who is it? Kind of find out. It's our bitch-ass neighbor talking about he could hear Carson's TV. Carson fell asleep with her TV on. I guess it was loud. Meanwhile, if I can't hear it in my own house, I don't know how the hell you hear it between a few walls. But this nigga had the audacity to come knock on my damn door at 3:30 in the morning talking about it's too loud. You know, I ain't even open the door. I told him I didn't get the fuck on somewhere. But if I was in my right mind, I should have, if I had on clothes, I would have opened up the door and charged his ass up. And I've been going by his house frequently to try to catch him. And see, because you need to know, nigga, you could have got, you know, worse things happening to you. Yeah, so I guess, LaShawn, either you need to buy me a robe or I just need to sleep with some clothes on.
You probably need to sleep with some bottoms on. Come on. Or you can just sleep with a top on and no bottoms. You need one or the other.
Any man out there sleeping with just a shirt on and nothing else.
But nigga, listen to this. Wonder if you would have had a full pajama long sleeve top, like button up with no bottoms that nigga, came to that, the
a
door.
Nigga, a nigga do that, he need to be arrested.
No, he don't.
On sight.
No, he don't.
On sight. Bruh, weird ass nigga.
If a person wear they top, he's a weirdo. Girls do it.
That's great. That's easy access.
No, it's not.
Get a girl go to sleep with just a t-shirt on, just a top. Her husband know what time it is. No, it don't. Yes, sir.
No, it don't. It don't mean it.
Yeah, it do. That's not a lot of the people.
Okay.
That's not a lot of the people. Ladies, if you go to bed with just a t-shirt on,
no draws,
just a pajama top, no draws.
That don't mean every time he's going to get some. No, that don't mean that.
9 times out of 10.
And maybe five times out of ten.
That tenth time is just because somebody fell asleep.
They had intentions.
They had intentions.
I mean, it's just good practice.
As long
it's
as niggas
practice.
Not just sleeping with his t-shirt on and that's it. That Sir, nigga needs to be arrested.
You know what, guys?
On site.
If you are cold at the top and rather have your bottom out. Have on the shirt, I'm okay with that. You know, that means he's conservative at the top.
Yeah, I mean, he's a weirdo. Anyway. All right, it's time for
Earth is ghetto. I wanna leave. Can you beam me up? I'm out on the street by the corner store. You know, the one on 15th. Got a bright shirt on, so I'm easy to see. I've been down here stranded indefinitely. I can't reach my planet, but I need to leave. You should see these people. It's hard to believe how they treat each other. It's hard to conceive. Oh, Earth is ghetto.
Now it's closed.
All right. So, oh man, I just don't understand like what the hell be going on. So in Roswell, Georgia.
I thought you finna talk about the hot news. I don't piping know hot.
What hot news you referring to?
Paul Pierce.
I'm not talking about that nigga.
Yeah, Paul Pierce, I'm not baby. About that nigga. I don't know. Somebody gave him a Molly or what?
Nah, I don't know. Maybe
he's married and he got three kids. Is he married? So let's go.
I tried to look up, you know, Paul Pierce divorce or Paul Pierce separation. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything, so I don't know if he's divorced or what. But no married man in their right mind is finna be on live smoking blunts with strippers and hollering at strippers.
Ain't no daddy finna be doing that.
That's yeah, that too. So he's married with children. So I have no idea like what's going on with him or what that whole situation is. But
I know what's going on.
First of all, he sucked at his job anyway as a analyst on ESPN or NBA. NBA on ESPN or ABC, whatever it is. He sucked at that. So for him to get fired, I'm glad he finally got fired because his commentation is trash. So I have no idea what that nigga was thinking.
Good
Lord. I have no idea what that nigga was thinking.
That thing right there, he was off the chain.
So, I mean, I don't know. But we're going to keep him lifting a prayer because he could be going. Anytime shit like this happens, somebody's like going through something. They start doing just shit at the norm. That nigga going through something.
Man, and then we're gonna find out
next month that he was, you know, battling with depression and you know, and all those things.
Don't nobody do that when they depressed. They don't go get no bitches and then go get some blunts and then tell the girls.
All last season you told me Miles. You told me Miles.
You told me Miles.
Okay, so nigga might want to be around bitches. That might bring his spirits back up. To go be around bitches.
He went and got bitches. Got weed, got online, and it was telling other bitches they can come because they can get paid.
So
my goodness.
At the end of the day, we're gonna keep that nigga lifted in prayer because hey, according to LaShawn, you could be depressed and still be horny. I ain't never been depressed and wanted to get none. I did
when I was going through postpartum depression. I still want to have sex.
That's different. That's your it's not. Your hormones it's raging because you just had a baby.
It's not raging. Hormonal shift. It's not.
Let's get into some other ghetto moments.
Was
they were. I know the female body.
No,
anyway,
you don't.
So in Roswell, Georgia, and we have a couple of them here. Kids Are Kids, the daycare place.
I have no comment on Kids Are Kids. Go ahead.
You might have after this. So you know, a lot of these fancy ass daycares. You know, they have the 24/7 cameras in there so you can see your child all through the day. All you got to do is log in and you can see your child. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently this father, this, you know, black parent was looking in and saw that all the white kids had their lunches first. Now, mind you, all the kids are spread out around the room. So you got to kind of go over a black kid to get to a white kid.
Mm-hmm.
All the white kids got their lunch and the black kids got all served last. And it wasn't a situation, oh, these kids have certain dietary restrictions or nothing. Nah, they were just serving the white kids first and then serving the black kids last. And I have absolutely no earthly idea as to how somebody could think that's okay. And then know for a fact that you're being recorded to do some shit like that. That just means you have racistness inside of you and it's embedded. And you just doing it to a point to where you don't... It's natural to you at this point.
You know what? I'm hoping that none of them kids even noticed it. Because at 3 and 4 years old,
right.
You don't even... They probably just like, I'm just waiting on my lunch to come through to be seated in front of me.
And you're right. They probably didn't even understand it.
They didn't.
But that's exactly why you have involved and, you know, parents that pay attention to shit and to be able to see that. And then, you know, daycare is high. Daycare is high. It's just high. That'd be one of the reasons why parents decide if they're gonna have a child or not.
Or not, yep.
Because it's an expense in itself, you know, until they get into elementary school ages.
$230 a week. Let's go.
And that's probably on the low end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you debate: Do I take my child to a place like that, or do I take them to a home daycare or a daycare that may not
Nae Nae house or somebody,
a daycare
you know?
That may not have all the amenities that somewhere like. This old bougie ass daycare is supposed to have.
Yep,
you
we
know
got
what
them
saying?
All here. Kids you know are kids. Creme,
you know,
Primrose.
Yeah. So it's that's just ignorant. But you also you know get different experiences when you go to home daycares. I know my partner grandmother had a home daycare for years, and you know, hey, you know, you just
everybody was alive. Just know that everybody was alive. Everybody
but
was fed.
You remember when we was taking Chase to certain daycares, and it was like we had to fight to pick him up sometimes, you know, because they was just doing wrong, you know.
Oh,
they were just doing wrong. It was just too ghetto. It was just ghetto to a point. It's like, come on, What are you doing here?
Where are we going to draw the line?
I remember at one point we was taking, we took Chase out of a daycare.
Probably once a month. I mean, every other month.
He went through like four daycares like in like 4 or 5 months. He went through four daycares in like 6 months.
That's where my threshold for bullshit, it stops at kids, like for real. I do not, as soon as my child start getting sick too much, I start seeing like weird stuff. He getting too many diaper rashes, all this stuff. Because like Chase said, daycare way too high. Even that daycare that we took Carson to.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Y'all, we tried to give this. It was black on. She seemed to have had her head on right. We did an interview with her. We felt good about it. We was like, okay, you know.
They still operating, too.
They still operating, but baby.
My child won't be there.
When I tell you that this lady was batshit crazy. She was batshit crazy. Po thang. I ain't going to even get into what the situation was, but. Please believe.
I don't even blame some parents who like quit their jobs just to stay home with their child because you can't trust everybody.
You really can't.
You can't trust everybody.
And then there's not any of those at home daycares no more like when we were growing up because everybody grandmama is fine as fuck now and they still out.
Okay.
They ain't keeping no kids no more. And ain't none. And grandmama's working longer.
I'm sure some, but you know.
Who?
I don't know. People. I don't know the daycare.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Them women in their 60s now, they is still having
like
a full time job.
Like I be on Yelp looking up home daycares.
You do.
Anyway. And these are moments that I just live for and I just would hope that we get involved with one day. So there was a teacher in California. They were on a parent-teacher conference, but it was virtual. And the teacher thought she ended the Zoom. And the teacher was just going in on how these black parents was this and ghetto this and how embarrassing here, this, that, and the third. All of this stuff. And the Zoom was recording. And the parents got the recording, heard it live. And it's just like, why don't these type of things happen to us? Why don't these type of things happen to us? Why Carson teacher didn't, you know, say old ignorant shit about us and about Carson so we can find out and chop her motherfucking head off? Why these things don't happen to us?
Why do you want somebody to talk about us?
I live for confrontation like that. I live for moments like that.
Well, I don't want nobody talking about me.
I live to let a nigga know what it is.
Ass.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to get that out. You know what I'm saying? You got to just get that type of shit out. So
I really think the reason why that shit never come across with us is because from the get-go, they kind of already see like, not gonna ruffle feathers over there. Because we kind of come in very assertive and just saying, okay, this is how it's going to be.
Well, teachers out there, don't let this virtual world that we in right now get you fucked up. Please make sure your computers are closed and shit is turned off. Because I know teachers like to vent. You know, about kids or problem parents.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a way to go about doing that, and definitely not on the damn Zoom meeting.
Well, my thing is that if you want to take it there, then let's take it there. You know what I'm saying?
They clearly don't want to take it there with you live. If that's the case, they would have told you during the parent teacher conference, but they did not. She didn't wake up and choose violence.
Well, I don't know. She knew what she was going to say about Ja'Kerion before they got on. She knew what they. She knew exactly what her ass was going to say.
All right. So, as far as what we watched, we ain't watched shit because Sean's so busy. She doesn't have time to sit down and, you know, watch TV with her husband. But I did get the chance to watch Versus. And I really do think this is one of the best verses. Just for the standpoint, because the music.
I rewatched it, but go ahead. I need my feedback.
Just for the standpoint, because the music is what it is. Like the songs that were played are, you know, hits from both of these two legendary groups. So, you know, I enjoy it. Like we went to Oklahoma, we was listening to, you know, that era of music, because we listen to that. I just bought 2 Earth, Wind & Fire records, and I think I got 2 Isley Brother records over there. The issue that I have, I did have an issue with Steve Harvey.
Okay,
drunk ass.
So thank you.
I did have an issue with his drunk ass. And I understand. I was listening to his radio show prior to. He was very, very excited. He's a avid listener of the people, but he
was way too eager.
He felt like he was at home, but he said it prior to. Like, he not holding back. He gonna do whatever the fuck he want to do while he up there. And he felt like he was at home with them niggas, and they was in his living room or somebody else's living room. And, you know, I can't fault him for that. He warned everybody that that's what he was gonna do.
It was also the Steve Harvey show. Because all he kept talking about was his damn self.
That's who he is at this point.
Okay, but it's not about you. You don't bring shit to the verses. Well. We talking about the people who actually got the hits. I would have liked it if he would have talked about them, we would have learned a little bit more from it. Was when he did, it was too late, because the whole first half of the verses, it was the Steve Harvey and Marjorie show. Cause he talking about how his dick get on hard he did.
Okay. But then you gotta think, then I was also thinking about it, like, neither one of the two sides were very talkative. So if that
they was
the case,
nervous.
I understand that. But if that was the case, it'd have been like the other verses, to where you got these younger people who will actually sit up there and talk and have banter and go back and forth. It would have been the most quietest shit you ever heard. And that may have been a good thing in some situations. Yeah. They're just going to, you know, play music. But they tried to bring another element to it. I get it. You know, it worked for some people. It didn't work for some people. The issue that I truly have is... So we was watching it with my partner Jordan, and Jordan was like, "Damn, that nigga, did Ronald Isley die? Because he's not there." So nobody could recognize that this man sitting there to the left of Steve Harvey the whole time, that was Ronald Isley, because he had a beard now. And you know, y'all excited because the nigga got a gray beard. But if you paid attention, the nigga could barely sing these songs because he couldn't keep them goddamn dentures in his mouth.
It wasn't that no nigga, dentures. Those that were dentures.
No. Those were dentures. You could let me tell you. I done watched enough old people with dentures to know what dentures are. Anytime they gotta put them, they gotta lick their tongue on the front of their teeth to push them bitches back. Those are dentures. That nigga got dentures. So hey, ladies, if you like a nigga with dentures, nigga with floss teeth, you go, hey, do your thing, baby. Do your thing. But that nigga got dentures. Yeah, dentures.
You think his wife is 30?
She probably encouraged him to go get his fucking teeth changed out. Yeah, he too old to be getting no damn veneers.
Why he too old?
What you mean? Ain't no, can't be getting them implants put in your damn mouth. He too old for that.
Why?
You know, take them teeth out and get
That's not major surgery, is it?
I don't know, but he too old for any type of surgery. Them is dentures. So if you like a nigga with dentures, you go right ahead.
You gonna have some.
Hey. All right. That's not funny. Anyway. The only thing we did get to watch this week, we did get to catch up on Married to Millions. Married to Millions. And I just want to go straight to Rodney and
Desiree.
Name? Desiree. So again, this is a show to where you have a couple, and one of the people in the couple has a lot of money. They're millionaires, and they get in a place to where they're trying to get married. All right. So Rodney, you know, he's a different type of man. He's different. So the young lady goes out shopping with his mama, and she tells the boy, "Mama, I got this nigga black card. We can spin it up." So she like, "Oh, you got this nigga credit card?" So the mama pull up and like, "Hey, why she got your credit card? Like, if she don't take it back from her, I'ma cut the credit card off." And that draws the question, like, why is this man mama all in this man's financial situation to where she has control of this nigga money?
Well, come to find out
she's like the biggest investor of his business, and so the reason he got all this money. So they like, damn, they're 50-50 in whatever they got going
correct.
On.
Correct. I really think she got more share than he do, because the way she was aggressive about that, because she was like, if y'all break up, then you're not getting any of my money. Like, you're not. She literally told her
that. So my question is, like, we've talked about parents before, like, this nigga's grown. What you gonna do? Are you gonna step in and draw the line and say, hey, this is what I'm gonna do with my wife or my old lady, and you got the bag up? You can't tell me what I can do with my money or not as an adult? Or you just gonna be like, yes, mama? How long you gonna be a mama's boy? Do you want Chase to act like this nigga's acting?
If your child can't make good decisions for themselves, you just gotta let them go ahead and crash and burn.
Okay.
Sometimes you do.
Especially as an adult.
You can try to save them as much as you can. Yes, like if your child don't get it once they're in their adolescence and they don't get like the, you're trying to steer them and not so much as control them. You just as an adult, you probably just gotta go ahead and let them crash and burn. If Desiree gonna end up taking all his money, then that's what she gonna end up doing. But I feel like that the mama's smart enough to know too that she can put some things into place to where her stake or her ownership in their business isn't affected by whatever goes on with him and that girl. But I don't know, that's kind of hard. I mean, yeah, she shouldn't be meddling, but I get why she was very just trying to be committed to trying to see, okay, what this girl is really about, because he gave her the black car. She says she pays all her bills with that car. She does.
And she's stupid because she should have just kept her mouth. Now she done messed up her blessing. All right, we finna go to break. Before we go to break, I just want to end it on this. Chris from Married at First Sight, if you are listening, I just appreciate your honesty.
Hell nah.
I've been saying all year that you don't want to be with this young lady because she was ugly. And I'm glad you finally had the courage to say, you didn't even say that she was ugly. You just said it was her face. And
that's even worse. It's even worse. Chris, if you listening, fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be back.
That young lady looked like Florida Evans.
It don't matter. But Chris is ugly as fuck. Wow. He's very ugly. But yeah, we'll be back.
Florida Evans.
Ugly ass Chris.
Yeah, I know, it's almost time to travel again. But if you think you finna travel, then put your stuff in your old high school gym bag, a backpack, or a drawstring bag, you got a problem. Go to www.boulevardbags.com. Boulevard Bags will have you prepared for everything, whether it be date night to overnight, or leaving work to catching a flight. Boulevard Bags gonna have you traveling in style. Don't get it twisted. Boulevard Bags has everything you need. Whether that's purses, briefcases, or duffel bags, Boulevard Bags has you covered. Let them know My Last Nerve sent you and receive a 15% discount. Again, that's www.boulevardbags.com. Hey, you can't be in your bag if it's not worth putting anything in. Boulevard Bags.
All right, and we are back. So we are back with our series, Healthy Living While Married. Is that right, Jason?
Come on here, girl.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I said it right, Jason. So I know that we try to drive home all the time, communication, communication, communication. But then I started to think like, okay, well, maybe we should start talking about more about communication styles, because everybody, they don't communicate the same way. Like I know for a fact, I don't communicate the same way that Chasen does, and vice versa. And sometimes the way that I would like for him to communicate, he would not have even thought to communicate with me in that way. So, I just kind of want to ask a question to you. Do you think that communication styles can get in the way of relationships? Like if you have, if it's too far off.
There is no relationship without communication.
I said the style.
Oh. Why still was deep. Yeah, because if you don't get on the same page when it comes to communicating, then it makes it difficult to maneuver through a relationship. So if someone's communication style is different than yours, how they're communicating to you will make it difficult for you to be able to receive and interpret the message that that person is trying to, you know, get over to you, and vice versa. So yeah, so if your style of communicating is different, then yes, that could play a big role in whether or not that relationship is successful. But as both of us are communication majors and we have degrees in communications, there is a process of communicating regardless of whatever your style is. You know, there's different phases of communication. So whether that be the message, you know, the person that receives it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know, the communication diagram.
Yeah, so I do.
Regardless of the style.
I don't remember the steps, though.
Regardless of the style, that diagram doesn't change. It's still the same. Still the same process. Now, how you go about that process, that's where the different styles come in.
And how you interpret it.
Right. Yeah, and how you interpret it. But I think the thing when it comes to communication and making sure you have healthy communication, there's things that can get in the way. There's things that can block the communication. And then, you know, you just got shit, people that just don't give a damn. And they, because sometimes it's not communication. It could be all of those things. And then I could just not love you no more. I could just not care about you no more. And therefore, you can communicate as well as you want to, but because I no longer give a damn about you or care about you, then your messages ain't gonna, you know, come through.
Yeah, I saw that in emotional communication. So, like, people can pick up on your how you, you know, communicate emotionally. But so with that being said, there is said to be four communication types, kind of depending on how you view your relationship. And then there are like a couple of like honorable mentions, you know. So with communication, there is passive. There is aggressive. There's also passive aggressive. And there is assertive. So I can break that down a little bit more. So for example, I think we all kind of know a passive person and how passive people kind of communicate. But you know, the passive type of style of communication is pretty much like when a person tries to avoid naming what it is that's going on. They don't like to assert their feelings. They don't like to be honest. They kind of dance around, you know, the issue or the problem just to maintain the peace, because these people in particular, they don't like conflict at all, and they don't want to see anybody not pleased. So it would be kind of hard if you are a passive type of person to kind of try to articulate what you are wanting to say, or if there's a problem in the relationship, because you're kind of fearful of what might happen. And so I think in our relationship, it's not pretty much of a passiveness in our relationship, but I don't know, I think sometimes we may have moments of that, you know.
Well, I've come to, you know, as we mature in our relationship, I've come to understand there are times that it's important, or there's times that I feel like I need to be passive, I feel like it's important to be passive sometimes because that's a way to avoid conflict. It's also a way to, I mean, I think that's the main thing, to avoid conflict, because with you, I feel like if I try to be too assertive, which would be the opposite of passive. If I try to be too assertive, then that could be a block in the communication process, because you may be trying to get your point across. I may be trying to get my point across. And then it comes to a point to where, all right, well, who's going to give in, or is this particular situation or issue really important? So I've learned to start being more passive and, you know, let you have moments and try to be the mature one in the conversation or in the relationship. And not press so hard on issues or press so hard on certain points to where, you know, it just lets other things just kind of fall by the wayside and just let them be. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Because somebody has to be the mature one in the relationship, and I'm working on being that one.
Okay, that's great.
I don't see that being you.
Okay, that's perfect. You know what I'm saying? Perfect.
So I'm gonna be passive.
Perfect. And so if you are a passive person in your relationship, I just kind of want to give you a tip or tips to kind of, you know, shake out of that. So if you are passive in your relationship, you have to stop doing what you think the other person wants you to do. Like, you have to be able to stand on your own two feet and be able to say, okay, I know that this particular person may want me to say X, Y, and Z, but I don't want to put my feelings on the back burner. So I'm going to go ahead and be an advocate for myself, and I'm going to say what I really feel. Also, notice behavior in others that is unclear or unsaid. You know, ask about it. Like, if you are talking to someone and you are kind of left in a situation where you're like, dang, I don't even really know. Like, if you find yourself pondering and things like that, don't let what they have said be the end all be all. Go ahead and ask and just say, hey, I just wanted to clarify. When you said that you really didn't like my outfit that I wore to brunch, what did you mean by that? Did you not like how it looked on me, or did you just did not care for the red dress?
No, it was tacky. See, it was tacky. I told you that from the jump. You get out here making me look bad.
See,
because when people see you, they be like, oh, that's Chasing White. No, I'm just playing.
That's fine. I don't care. Cause
I know you. And you that changed. You used to when we first started. You used to be like, oh, I'm gonna be 10-10 every time I step out. Now it's like, man, fuck these folks. They gonna get what they get. I look better than them anyway. Even them you know, my poncho or whatever.
Wow.
Moo-moo.
Always gotta have a moo-moo. So yeah. And last, you want to check out your assumptions with other people. So you might want to do a check. Okay, so if you're feeling like your significant other got an attitude with you, you can kind of check and kind of play back what happened, and you can say, hey, you know, I'm kind of feeling like when we had this conversation, we kind of walked off and you were not feeling me so much. It's what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. Is that correct? And then you can just kind of see, instead of you just, you know, kind of just thinking, because sometimes that happens with us.
Well, with conversations like that, I think it's important that both parties be receptive to the other, because if one comes in on 10, the other one comes in on at a 1. The one on 10 is going to be spitting fire at the other one. Then that's just not going to go well. So as long as both parties are receptive to the conversation or receptive to whatever is being discussed, then I think what you're saying will be fine. Because there's no possible way that if something is said and I come back to you and was like, hey, earlier you said this and it made me feel a certain way, or what did you mean by this, and this the response you give me is you cussing me out, then I'm gonna just go ahead and be passive and just keep that shit to myself. Because why do I want to bring up something, and you know your spouse, and you should know how they're going to react. And if they're going to react in a way that's just not going to be positive for the situation, then you might as well just be quiet. So in situations such as this, since you said that's something that is a tool to use, if you come back at me cussing me out, that would be what we consider a block in communication.
Are you trying to say that I'm doing
unhealthy, unhealthy communication? I'm not saying that you're doing. I'm saying you've done it.
Okay.
So therefore, I'm putting it on the table.
Okay.
So we can go ahead and come on, put it
on the table. So we putting stuff on the table.
Stop. I'm putting examples. Okay, great. I'm putting examples out there so we can be able to use what we're talking about and work through it. Because these are examples that other people may have. Mm. Because a lot of the women that listen to this podcast, they're very angry and aggressive.
Wow.
And they cuss their husbands a lot. And their husband don't even be doing nothing to deserve.
That's a damn lie.
See what I'm talking about?
Any ladies I know who got a husband and they listen to this podcast.
I am a true, real nigga advocate. And I am
husband needs to be put in line.
I'm trying to have a back for all the real niggas out there that just tired of getting cussed out.
Well, stop doing wrong.
See what I'm saying?
Do right. Do Grace. What we asked you to do the first time. We are the Grace. Queens. You supposed to be doing Grace. What I want you to do okay. anyway.
Let's get back to the communication. So that would be considered either unhealthy communication or a block in the process of communicating, correct?
Man, block D.
See what I'm saying?
I'm just playing. Okay. Okay, so the next one, we done with passive, because Chasen is very passionate about passive. And who would have thought, because he's not even passive. But anyway.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said this is something that I am realizing that I need to be more of.
Oh, correct. Yeah, because he is spouse, a lot of.
Because if my spouse is on 10, I can't be on 10 too.
Oh my gosh, you are on 10.
I'm trying not to. You're not listening. See what I'm saying?
You is the 10 in the relationship. Listening. Say, I'm always on 10.
That's fine. If we both can't be on 10. So I have to come down and be more passive. So therefore, it's just you cussing me out and looking like the crazy one.
No, let me tell y'all what Chasen does. Okay. As he's saying, he needs to be more passive. He's actually the third one. When he comes down, he's passive aggressive. But okay. we'll get there in a moment.
Okay.
The next one is what Chasen actually is, and it's his middle name, Chasen Aggressive Edmund.
So that's the stigma of black men that we're trying to get away from. And here you are.
We're talking about communication
here you are
style.
Labeling me.
We're talking about your communication.
Okay. How do I aggressively communicate to you?
Man, I tell you.
By being
y'all,
a man at the house and put my foot down.
Look at that. Anyway.
And I shouldn't have to be aggressive when I do that. It should just happen. But go ahead.
Anyway, aggressive communication is a type of it's a type of way that a person will express their needs and their wants and, you know, whatever it is. But they express it in a way that is, quote unquote, like the right way. Sometimes it crosses the boundaries of others when they're communicating with them. It also can be kind of like characterized as interrupting others, having low frustration tolerance, attacking someone in a response when they feel threatened, leaving the place of the conversation, crossing their arms, spontaneously outbursting, speaking loudly, pointing fingers at people, blaming people, all of that stuff. If your communication style looks like that at all, then you would be considered an aggressive communicator. And I can say that I can be an aggressive communicator depending on what's going on. But I also don't like to be the aggressive communicator. So if I feel like that I'm in a situation where I'm not being heard, I do two things. I either will be aggressive or I would just draw all the way back and I will not say anything.
And both of those two things are very toxic.
They are. That's not good. That's not good at all.
Okay.
And so in our relationship, because like Chasen said, we both can be very aggressive, especially
yourself,
when
baby.
Getting you.
Speak
you
for
are,
yourself. Okay, just speak for
he's
yourself.
He's so though. Aggressive.
Speak for yourself.
we have to kind of pick and choose our battles, and in the midst of having a disagreement or argument, we just have to kind of understand like what we're arguing about, is it worth it? Are we finna keep arguing about it? Like he said, who's finna come down off this? Who's not? Whatever the case may be. So
like, I mean, like you said, if you feel that I am aggressive or I've been known to be aggressive, that's fine. I've realized that. To where if I'm trying to communicate something to you and it's coming off as being aggressive, that's a block. Because if I'm aggressive, then you'll either back away or you'll get more aggressive, and then we'll just continue to escalate. So which is why, because I'm trying to find a happy medium in our ways of communicating, I've realized that I need to be more of the latter and be more passive in certain situations and not allow myself to communicate aggressively if I'm not going to be able to communicate, you know, what I'm trying to say without doing so. So you can say what you want to say, which is why I don't, and I've told you this before, I don't do well with receiving aggressive communication. Mm-mm. And one of the key elements of aggressive communication is cussing. So
they didn't say cussing out here.
I don't give a damn what they said. I'm saying, yeah. Well,
man,
you are expert.
Talking about the
you're
fact.
An expert cusser. So you're an expert. So and I'm an expert at getting cussed out.
Yeah.
So therefore,
I could be cussing
reclaiming
at
my
the
time,
situation.
Reclaiming my time. Stop saying that, because that's
it
just
is.
Stop saying that, because all that is
I don't be
is
saying,
an excuse.
You a bitch. You a hoe. You a fucker. You a. I don't say that.
That doesn't mean that's not the only way you can cuss somebody out.
If
just by saying, I don't give a fuck about this shit. Da, da, la, la. Fuck that bullshit. La, la, la. I don't give a damn. La, la, la. That's cussing me out. You are using cuss words when speaking to me, and that makes me feel a certain way. To where
that's that my adjective.
That means you need to increase your vocabulary.
My vocabulary is very
because
very
when you cuss
up.
Me out, that puts me in a position to where I gotta like
you feel
I
attacked.
Gotta fight back. I gotta fight back, and I don't need to. I shouldn't have to fight my wife.
Don't fight me.
Okay, well, don't cuss me out.
Okay, well, all right then. Okay.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah, you don't. You have nothing to say
because
you know it.
Because
you know
I mean,
it. You mean what, cusser?
What's wrong with saying okay? I don't give a shit.
That is aggressive.
Okay,
that
so
is very
it's,
aggressive.
The, it's the same amount.
That is very
if
aggressive.
I say I don't give a care. It's the same equal.
It's not the same
it
equal.
It means that I don't care.
No. Saying I don't give a shit and then saying it hard, putting the emphasis on that cheat.
Shit.
That's
I don't give a shit.
It's truly aggressive.
But then if
especially
I say I don't give a care.
Especially when you're taking your fist and slamming it into your hand and
okay.
Your eyes are red, bloodshot.
Ain't nobody that
veins popping at your neck.
Nah,
he
a damn liar.
So,
not a fucking monster.
Okay. See, you couldn't even say monster without saying fucking.
Okay.
See
well,
what I'm saying?
You
so,
just got something against cussing. And that's okay.
I got something against ladies cussing because it's unladylike.
Nigga.
See?
That's a. Okay.
Okay.
Well.
So we've discovered that.
It is unladylike.
Okay. Well, we've discovered.
Well, I'm not
know,
a lady. I'm a woman.
Okay. Well,
so I use big girl words.
I will say I will say that I have discovered the times in which I'm aggressive and how that inhibits our ability to effectively communicate
and come up with a good solution.
It leads to unhealthy communication.
Well, if you are aggressive, I got some tips for you. Okay. All right. So if you are trying to overcome being extra aggressive, this is what you need to do. You need to listen to what other people are saying. You have to listen. You have to take your emotions out of it. You got to calm down and you got to listen. Hey, I have to do it too. So this is a big one. You also have to listen to respect other people's needs. So not only do you need to listen, you need to listen to figure out, okay, when I do respond, how can I respond in a way that's going to be respectful to what the other person just said to me. Not like what I like to do is say, when I feel like the point that Chasen is trying to make is wrong, don't say I don't give a shit. Don't say that. say, you know what? I can understand how you feel this way. This is what, you know, I'm sorry that you did. That I made you feel that way. I'm sorry that what my comment came, you know, off to you like this, blah, 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 any of that stuff, you know. And then you want to look for a win-win of the solution versus a win-lose. Chasing is very much so of a you win, I win, you won. That's his favorite thing to say. You won. I'm wrong. It's not about that. It's about being a win-win situation. How can I be a winner in this? How can you be a winner in this?
How can I win if I'm losing?
But shut your ass up. yeah. You old liar. Anyway. You told her how can you win when you lose? What you losing at?
I'm losing because the reason I said it because I feel like if my point is not coming across, if you're not understanding what I'm saying, if you're not adhering to what I'm saying, and you just solely sticking to whatever you feel and how you feel, at some point I'm gonna go back to that passive state. I'm gonna just be passive and be like, forget it. You got it. The point you were trying to drive home, you got it. That's it. Don't worry about what I was saying. I'm done because you're not understanding. You're not getting it. You're not trying to. You got it. So that's when I feel like you won because you got your point across. Your point is right. My point is wrong. So that's why I say that.
Okay. Well, I don't totally agree with that, but I feel you. Next on the list is passive aggressive. So being passive aggressive with your communication is pretty much on the surface level, it could look like that you're acting appropriately. You know, you're calm. You know, I would like to say that passive aggressive communication is almost like a silent killer. You know what I'm saying? Like on the outside, you looking like you pulled together, you good, and this person going off on you, and you're just looking all studious and, you know, pulled together.
Yeah, you gotta watch the type of people.
But then once everything is done, 2 days later, you lost your job and you lost your house and your car got broken into. And because passive aggressive people, they do two things. They either act on what they're going to do or they're going to say what they're going to do, but they're going to do it after the fact. You know, they're not going to do it in the moment. So anywho, but let me give you the real definition. So passive aggressive communication can be characterized as shaming, blaming, criticizing, using a lot of you statements versus I statements. They have a hostile attitude. They mask their anger and sarcasm. They like to take a stance of superiority in certain situations. They find a disconnect between, you can see a disconnect between what the person says and what the person does. So if a person says, oh, I'm all good, like I said, that silent killer, you know, after you then went off and then you thought about it, you're like, you know, I'm sorry for doing that. And they like, oh, it's fine. It's okay. Like I said, 2 days later, you lose your job, you lose your house, you lose your car. It's because the passive aggressive killer then came through and they said that they was all good, but they didn't retaliate in a whole nother type of way.
But I feel like some black men,
they do that,
are passive aggressive because, I've probably been that way. You probably can say I've been that way sometimes because, we are looked at to be the strong, you know, dominant one or the one to be looked up to in the household, and we supposed to be the ones to kind of hold it down. And if we in a situation to where we feel a certain way or we feel bad or something's going on, and we'll suppress it, try not to show it, and then that could in turn be passive aggressive because we feel a certain way on the inside, and yeah, we may not be showing it aggressively or just kind of demonstrating a certain way, but slowly but surely it's going to seep out. And that's where that passive aggressiveness comes from. And I think when it comes to like directly communicating and talking, you know, to your spouse, you know, I think assholes are generally the ones that are very passive aggressive because they don't want to, you know, be looked at as the, like, the person who's calling somebody out, or mm-hmm. they don't want to be the one to, you know, blame anybody or anything like that. But they got to let you know in some way, shape, or form. They want you to know how they feel, just indirectly. And I think that's a strong characteristic of an asshole. I've been called that several times, and that's, you know, okay. I'm okay with that. So I just feel like being passive aggressive, it works for some people.
Well,
it works for some people, because especially if you don't want to be labeled as being aggressive, but you still want to be able to get your point across or be able to get out how you feel, mm-hmm. It's going to be passive aggressive.
And that's exactly what I read. It actually said that the communication style, they actually said being passive aggressive is actually an art, because this person knows how to restrain themselves and be poised and composed when they need to be, and still be able to give you just enough of aggressiveness to where you understand that they feel passionate about whatever it is that they're talking about. And so, you know, the biggest upside is that the fact that they're able to just be in control. They're able to be in control and use, but the downside is that they sometimes use manipulation as a way to get what they want, or for you to see what it is that they want you to see. And that's where it becomes an issue in a relationship, because you should never have to or want to manipulate your significant other just to see your side. You know, you should want to say, hey, I want to show you this, I want to tell you this, and that person respect it, or they come to the conclusion and then jump on board with you. Or even if they don't, at least you know where they stand in the situation versus you, you know, kind of manipulating them to see it your way. You know, so if you do have a passive aggressive type of way of communicating, let me give you a tip. So, you want to be assertive but not aggressive. It's a big difference. You know, you want to be able to assertively state what it is that you're needing, that you're wanting, without taking jabs, without bullying nobody, without shaming anybody, without any of those things. Because when you start doing those things, you start to blur the line from assertiveness to aggressiveness. You know, when you're assertive, you state facts only. That's it, period. You also want to give yourself some time. You want to give yourself some time to process what the person is saying, if what they're saying is really coming to you in a way to in which you feel attacked. You know, because sometimes our emotions dictate so much, and sometimes you just have to sit in how you feel and not just fly off and go off that feeling and then respond in that type of way. That's not fair to the other person. So, and then a lot of times why people are passive aggressive is because they're not open to confrontation. If you are open to confrontation and you're also open to a resolution, you won't have to fall into this place of passive aggressiveness, because, you know, the fear as to why you're passive is because you don't want any of the conflict at all. And conflict is actually healthy. So, you know, you just kind of want to make yourself available and get your bearings, go ahead, get your drink or whatever it is that you need, drink your water, sit down, and go ahead and hash out whatever it is that you need to hash out. So I think those are good tips to kind of help you out if you feel like that you communicate in a passive aggressive manner. And so another style, I'll give you this one and then one more after, then we can be done. So another style of communication is being assertive. And I like to say that I'm assertive.
Hell no.
I am assertive.
Yeah, you
in
are.
In certain instances.
Is there a category for assertive aggressiveness?
No.
Yeah. Okay, it should be. You assertive aggressive.
Okay. Well, when you're assertive, you can clearly state what your needs, what your wants are, and you advocate for yourself. But for the most part, you do this in an honest way, and it's a respectful way, and you try to, you know, negotiate with others and influence them to try to rally around what you would like. I like to say that that's something that I'm really good at. I think I'm good at communicating what it is that I see and kind of laying it out for individuals, and then them seeing, like, them making a determination of, like, okay, well, do I want to do what she said or do I want to do what I see? And most of the time, I feel like I have really good ideas, so I think people like to do what I say, you know, whatever. You do what I say. Chase be lying. He be doing what I say, dude. So yeah, so, you know, if you are communicating with someone that does use assertive communication, you know, you can clearly see that they are, you know, they use statements as I feel. Most of the time they listen without interrupting. They are speaking clearly, in a calm tone. The voice is, you know, just very, like, stern. They give you respectful eye contact. The body language is open, and their willingness to explore solutions can be seen. So with that being said, I think that being assertive in a relationship is key. I feel like that you can be all those other things, but in order for you to be able to effectively, you know, just carry on a relationship and be able to care for that person and nurture that relationship and all of that stuff, each party has to be assertive with what they need and what they want. And if you don't do that, then you run the risk of people running outside the relationship, getting those needs met. I think that in our relationship, the more comfortable that we got with one another, we were able to be a little bit more assertive as to what it is that we were needing and wanting, or what it is that you just kind of feel like, that you feel like that you kind of lacking.
Well, the man should be the one that's assertive for the most part. Yeah, I know you're gonna look crazy, but
yeah,
the man is supposed to be assertive when it comes to communicating. You should be able to trust that man. You should trust your husband and what he says, and he kind of, you know, puts his foot down in a nice way because he's the man of the house, the head of the house.
But we're talking about in a relationship.
I'm talking about in a marriage. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a
healthy marriage, if the husband is assertive because he's doing what he's supposed to do, then therefore, when he says something, when he communicates something to his wife, it's going to be received because she trusts his word. She trusts what he says because he does what he's supposed to. He has a good track record. You know what I'm saying? So, men, you should definitely be assertive with whatever you're saying, but do it respectfully. Do it respectfully. So, if you say, hey, this is what we're eating tonight, just want to let you know that. Love you, boo.
No.
That's not passive aggressive. That's assertion. That's being assertive.
Okay, but what I'm telling you is women have the right to be assertive.
I don't know about all of that.
How am I able to communicate with you?
That's great. You speak to the wives.
I'm speaking to everybody. I need for these niggas to know that women are assertive.
Don't speak for them. I got us, fellas. Assert yourselves when necessary. Let her know. You know, because you're doing your job, you're doing what you're supposed to as a man, as a husband. So therefore, whatever you say is gold. Okay. Assert yourself, my nigga.
Perfect.
Let her know what's up.
Nah.
Off jump.
Okay. Well, ma'am.
Respectfully,
lady,
though.
Okay.
Respectfully.
Anyway, women, you are supposed to be assertive in your relationship. It's some of these niggas that ain't never dated a real. I ain't even had a real relationship.
Yes, ladies. So, assert yourself with asking him what he needs.
No.
Assert.
Okay, yeah. And assertive. Then he needs to do the same thing. She ain't just taking no orders.
Again.
Like, what the hell? This is not 1950.
Hey, you say what you want to say. I say what I want to say. You
no,
know what I'm saying?
It's not. I don't know what. Y'all, hey. So y'all see Chasen be struggling because all this shit he be talking, that is not it. We have a balanced relationship. He
obeying.
Don't just be.
You're not obeying.
You see that?
You're not obeying.
He don't be like, LaShawn, we eating spaghetti tonight and that's final.
You're right. I don't even say it. I just go to the store. I buy what's needed to be bought. I cook it and you sit down and you eat it.
Oh my assertion. Gosh.
Fellas,
okay.
Assert yourself.
All right. Anyway, so if you want to be more assertive in your relationship, here are some tips. One, you need to use I statements. You need to say, hey,
I told you.
Boy, ain't nobody letting
that. I told you to get in that bedroom and go to bed now. Get your ass in that shower and lay down.
Also, you need to practice saying no. No, I'm not doing that. No. No.
No, I'm not putting my mouth.
No. So, that's another one.
No, you're not going. You sit down.
But
no. Be assertive.
Also, keep your emotions in check. When your significant other is acting a fool,
get
like Chasen is, keep your emotion in check because you already know what. You ain't going to do it. So, it don't even matter.
Right.
Just go and do what you want to do.
Keep your emotions in check because you know. Regardless of what he did, you still gonna give him some. Keep your emotions
Psych.
In check.
Anyway,
your emotions in check.
Let me tell y'all something. I tell y'all about the punishment that I believe in.
Yeah. Start putting you on dick detention.
Boy, shit. Anyway, you want to also rehearse what you gonna say. Get in that mirror and be like, you know what? I need for you to start buying me.
If you gotta practice what you gonna say. Because you already know that when you see him, you're going to just, you know, melt and not be able
to. Not melt. It's about them doubling back because you want to be assertive.
Nigga.
So if a person is a little bit passive and they want to be assertive and not aggressive, they need to practice what they're going to say. That's what they need to do.
Whatever.
Anyway, and the last one, you need to assess your style. You know, does your voice, your opinions, you got to figure out, okay, listen, do I need to voice my opinions or do I need to remain silent? You know what I'm saying? So like when you're being assertive, you do want to kind of pick and choose what your battles are because in a relationship, you're going to have tons and tons of them daily. You're going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But... You know, with communicating with your partner, you need to see, like, am I really finna trip off the fact that he keep putting his dirty clothes by the dirty clothes hamper and not put it in there? Or am when I go
you
to the bathroom, am I gonna pick it up and put it in the hamper?
That's like me saying, will you stop touching my shit? Like, if I put something in a certain spot, you said, I'm not gonna do this here on this show.
Okay. Well,
petty
I'm
ass.
Just saying.
All right.
I'm just asking.
So anyway. Before we close out, I do have some things that can stop or prohibit an unhealthy communication style or communication process between you and your spouse. Okay. So one of those things is criticism. It's a matter of how you criticize your spouse. If you are criticizing your spouse in a way that you're attacking them, then that's going to lead to unhealthy communication. If you're providing criticism that's going to help or benefit your spouse or you all's relationship, then that's the healthy way to do so. Also, be open to receiving criticism. Understand what that person's intentions are. This is your spouse. This is somebody who loves you and cares about you. They should not be saying anything to you to intentionally hurt or harm you or make you feel a certain way. So if you're going to criticize, don't criticize to where you're attacking that person.
Tack, tack, tack.
All right. Contempt. So what that means is contempt is very toxic in relationship. Contempt is despising, which carries a lack of respect. So just sum that up, being disrespectful in any type of way. That's another way of unhealthy communication, being disrespectful. talking bad about them, cussing them out, saying certain things, or just being rude, being mean, saying things to intentionally hurt that person. That ain't it. That's not it. That's unhealthy ways of communicating. Stonewalling. Stonewalling is a type of withdrawal. So just not talking all together, going in another room or Chasing leaving the house.
So much
leaving
to
in
me.
The house. But let me tell you why I do that. Okay, let me tell you why I do that. Because if I feel like you attacking me, or if you going off on me, you cussing me out, in order for me to not, because this is something I'm just trying to figure things out. I'm trying to grow. In order for me to, in that moment, not meet you where you are and go off on you, and we both cussing at each other and both going at each other and cutting each other's heads off, mm-hmm. it's probably best for me just to leave the room.
Okay.
And let that situation die down, then come back to it. So
then by that time he come back, but I don't want to talk about this shit at that point.
And that's fine. Then, but come back though. Stonewalling, you don't even come back. You don't even come back. Or you're just not saying that. You're not just saying that, period. So
you
don't
get that Popeyes or what?
Don't do that. And the last thing, defensiveness.
It is very unhealthy
to communicate with your spouse and all you're doing is trying to defend your point and not listening or understanding what your spouse is saying to you. You gotta come to a point where it's what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing to get to a solution? What are we doing to get to the next step? How long are we gonna stay in this situation to where we mad or you know, not even necessarily mad, we're just not getting to the place wherever we're trying to get to. So don't be so defensive because that, like I said previously, you got to know what your spouse's intentions are. They shouldn't have an intent to hurt the other person. So those are just some things that are, that can lead to unhealthiness. The last thing that's not on this list are distractions. Kids can be a distraction. Work can be a distraction. Your in-laws can be a distraction. Friends can be a distraction. Those are just some elements that can distract you from not effectively communicating to your spouse. And I know we talked about it at the beginning, but if you find yourself not even caring or being in love or all of this stuff with that person, that's going to be a big ass block in communicating. So always kind of know what your purpose is as far as why y'all are together and let that draw you back to a place to where y'all can effectively communicate. So, yeah. So those are just some tips to where if you kind of notice those things happening, then your communication style is, your communication process is unhealthy. So just kind of limit those things so we can get to a point to where we are effectively communicating. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you got something from this portion of our series as far as healthy living while being married or in a relationship. Because at the end of the day, I think our goal, especially with this day and age, is to try to do our best to make sure relationships stay together, they stay strong, families stay together. Yeah, so we just want to make sure that we all are being healthy. So make sure y'all got healthy friendships. We want to now make sure that y'all have healthy communication processes and within y'all's marriage. So yeah. So do you have a My Last Nerve of the week?
Mm-mm. Okay. Oh yeah, I do. I do. This one goes out to Chaser.
Oh, okay. Pity.
Let me tell y'all what Chaser did. Y'all, it pissed me off so big. If it,
this nigga is petty.
You done?
Petty.
Okay, anyway, I got my second dose of my vaccine on Monday. And I didn't start feeling bad until Tuesday, maybe around about 3:34 o'clock. And I tell him that I started feeling bad around about 2. I started feeling like I had a fever, like I was hot in the inside. Y'all know this nigga sat up here and told me I was faking and it was in my head.
I did not
say
you
were
faking.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me finish my last nerve.
That's so petty.
He said I was faking and it was in my head. And if you saying it's in my head, then you mean that I'm faking. So it's all the same. Anywho, I just want to let husbands and boyfriends and significant others, girlfriends, everybody, anybody that's with somebody, if a person tell you they don't feel good, don't tell them that it's in their head. They know what they feel in their body. Don't tell nobody that what they feel is not real. Okay. That's rude to do that. And so, hopefully he learns that next time, don't do that. Or I'm going to have to backslap. All
right. Well, all right.
It's not a rebuttal to my last nerve.
You know what? I'm going to leave that there. I am going to leave that there.
He thought he was going to have a chance to talk on my last nerve. That's messed up.
That's fine. I'm going to remember that.
It's the first time
That's fine.
In our we podcast. Done.
So, my last nerve of the week. It's always something. And the hot thing now that all you fake ass health experts are talking about is goddamn CMOS. CMOS this and CMOS that. But I ain't heard a goddamn doctor or nutritionist yet say that we need CMOS. First, it was cod liver oil and apple cider vinegar and put a drop of iodine in your coffee every day.
Hell no. Iodine will kill you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what next is there? We got all this flavored ass CMOS people out here selling, and all of a sudden it cures everything but AIDS. It helps you with your sex drive. It helps you with your skin. It helps you with appetite suppression. It helps you with better energy, blood flow. It do all of this. It do all of this. And you mean to tell me that ain't no doctor put this in a pill or nothing? It help you with better teeth, better hair, help you see better. All this flavored ass CMOS. What's next? What next is it? What we gonna be eating next? Peanut shells?
You niggas come up
with everything.
I ain't had CMOS yet. It's some bullshit. It do all of this.
It do all of this.
But that's what they saying.
It cure COVID. Chase, it do all of this.
It's saying that this is a natural thing. And that, you know, basically all we don't get.
All the fishes in the sea is damn near dead. If this was good, the fishes would be alive. They eat sea moss.
Why is they dead?
Shit, because the sea is polluted. I don't know. But shit, who said sea moss do all of it? Who was the one? Who was the one who did it? Let me talk to him. Goddamn sea moss.
And then his ass gonna be eating sea moss.
I'm just gonna drink my water and go to the gym, eat your vegetables, take you a one a day, take your vitamins. Well, what happened to just taking your vitamins?
That's what they saying. The natural sea moss is jam packed with way more vitamins.
And okay, plus, double up on your one a days. Then double up on your one a days. You know what? Double up on your vitamins. Then sea moss. It got me fucked. All right, y'all. If I offended anybody that's out here selling
it, because it's a lot of people. It's
please let me know what I'm missing. And if you take sea moss and you feel good better by please let me know, because I'm not a believer of eating grass, eating flavored grass, wet flavored grass.
It's a gel. Ain't it gelatin?
Sea moss don't come in no gel. How I get in the gel form?
I thought they put the water in it.
See what I'm talking about? See what I'm saying? Look at you. All right, y'all. We appreciate y'all for listening.
If you selling sea moss, bro, inbox me. I try for free.
I ain't trying to knock nobody hustle. I just call me and let me know what I'm missing. Let me know who told you what. All right, y'all. We'll be back next week. We will have a guest next week, the next few weeks, so we continue this series of healthy living while married or in a relationship. Please be sure to tell a friend to tell a friend. Make sure you subscribe if you have not done so already. Follow us on Instagram, all that good stuff that Sean's about to tell you right now. All right, y'all.
Bye. Keep up with everything My Last Nerve by following us on Instagram at My Last Nerve Podcast or on Facebook at My Last Nerve Podcast. You can send your listener letters to My Last Nerve Podcast Show at gmail.com.